Mike or Imati Radharani. Muninda Vinda Vandate Triloka Shoka Harani Pasana Vakka Pankaje Nakunja Bhuvilasani Vajendra Bhanu Nandani Vajendra Suna Sangate Kada Karishyasi Hamam Kripa Kataksha Bhajanam. Anyway, Muninda Vinda Vandate. She is glorified in the assembly of all the great sages. Muninda Vinda Vandate Triloka Shoka Harani. And she destroys all the suffering of the three worlds. Prasanna Vakka Pankaje. And her face is blissful like a lotus. So they have these different songs. But on the birthday of Krishna, there's a super ecstatic song, and I'll teach it to you. Okay? And then I'll say something about Krishna. This is the most difficult lecture to give. Because anything you say in Krishna consciousness is about Krishna. So what do you say today? Okay, repeat after me. Nandake.
Nandake.
Ananda Bhaya.
Ananda Bhaya.
That means Nandake Ananda Bhaya. It means Nanda Maharaj became very happy. Why? Because Krishna was born. And when Krishna was born, what did he do? He gave charity. Right? I think it was he had to give charity. He gave charity. And that's called this mic, when you do it all the way at the end sometimes. That's called Dana Vira. Vira is chivalry, which is an indirect relationship with Krishna. Indirect relationship with Krishna means that there's certain emotions, they're not really relationships with Krishna, but they're so powerful that you become so absorbed in them, and they indirectly express your relationship with Krishna. There's seven indirect rasas, and one is virara, chivalry. So when the father, when the son is born, he gives charity. In America, it's cigars. In Vaishya families, they would give cows. So he became very, very happy. Nanda Maharaj, when Krishna was born, Jai Kaneya Lal Ki. Krishna's name is Kaneya Lal. Lal is like young Krishna. Kaneya, Krishna, Krishna, Kaneya Lal. So Nandake Anandabai Jai Kaneya Lal Ki. And then it describes his charity, the charity he gave. He was so happy out of parental feelings. This is Vrindavan. Vrindavan means the abode of love. That's what the ultimate reality is. Rasa Vai Saha. The ultimate reality is an intense exchange of perfect love. Ultimate reality means Shakti and Shaktiman. There's the possessor of energies, and there's the energies, and the energies are serving the source, and they're serving to please, therefore the essence is to love. So rasa vai saha. It's an intense experience of love. So, when Krishna was born, Nanda Maharaj had a great parental affection. He gave charity. And what did he give? Hati Deer? Hati Deer? I know the song. I know. I'm going to explain. We've got some Indian love here. Hati Deer is the elephant. The gave the elephants. Hati Diya, Gora Diya, he gave the horses. And then Or Diya Palaki. And in Vrindavan, they say the song like that. So we'll try the song. You repeat after me. Nanda Kaya, Nanda Bayo Jai Kaneya Lalki.
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 Jai Kaneya Lalki. 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 Jai Kaneya Lalki.
Nanda Kaneya Nanda Bayo Jai Kaneya Lalki.
Nanda Kaneya Nanda Bayo.
Nanda Bayo Jai Kaneya Lalki.
Nanda Kaneya, Nanda Bayo Jai Kaneya Lalki.
Jai Kaneya Lalki.
Jai Kaneya Lalki. Jai Kaneya Lalki.
Jai Kaneya Lalki.
Jai Kaneya Lalki. But like any entity or any being, one can show more or less of oneself according to the relationships one has. Right? you can think of someone who is a stranger. How much of you do they see? Right? And when there's someone really intimate, how much of you do they see? So what Krishna means is that one absolute reality, when that absolute reality is manifest most fully in the most intimate love. And when the absolute reality, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead does that, then there are four qualities that manifest that are not even manifest in any other manifestation of the absolute reality. All right, Prasad, what are those four qualities?
So it's the sweetness of the devotees.
Prema Madhurya.
The sweetness of the flute.
Venu Madhurya.
The sweetness of his beauty.
Rupa Madhurya.
And the sweetness of his pastimes.
Lila Madhurya. Yes, those four qualities. I'm not so cruel that I would ask someone who wouldn't know the answer. I'd be surprised if he didn't get it. So, when God opens his heart fully, in love, because that's the only time you open your heart fully, and love means happiness. So when God is the most happy, he's the most beautiful. Rupa Madhurya. His form, Madhurya, it's so sweet. He opens himself fully. He's more beautiful. It's just like even the pictures of Prabhupada. There's pictures of Prabhupada that are very, very regal. You know, there's a lot of pictures and they're beautiful. But when there's pictures of Prabhupada in an intimate, loving relationship with his devotees, he's even more beautiful. You know the picture I'm thinking of? When Prabhupada was at the airport when he was going to India after being in America for so long, and Janaki, Jamuna's sister, she grabbed Prabhupada's passport out of his hands and said, "I am not going to let you go." How loving is that? Raganuga, beyond the rules. Like an airplane. When an airplane flies, it doesn't stop at the traffic lights. So spontaneous devotion. She grabbed it, and Prabhupada, like his smile was so... And there's another one where Prabhupada, I think, is in a black coat, and his smile, out of intimacy and love. So when Krishna is in relation, when God wants to enjoy his most intimate devotees, then the setting manifests, which is Vrindavan. And then the relationships manifest. And he's so happy. Rupa Madhurya. And then there is Prema Madhurya. I think Ravindra Swarup Prabhu once gave a nice phrase. He said, Krishna means God at home. Because when someone, well, Krishna can mean God when God is himself. When he doesn't have to assume any position. When you assume a position, you have to keep your guard up. Krishna is God when he lets his guard down. In love. Prabhupada gave such a beautiful example of Prime Minister Gladstone. And the French ambassador was coming to see him. And he waited for a half hour. He waited for an hour.
He waited for an hour and a half, and then he lost it. And he barged into the room. How can you keep me waiting? And Prime Minister Gladstone was on all fours with his grandson riding on his neck. Intimate love. He couldn't do that when he sat in Parliament. The sweet aspects of himself cannot come out. Just like when Srimati Radharani met Krishna at Kurukshetra after 96 years without aging. And they met Krishna. And Krishna was a king. So everyone was saying, long live the king. Long live the king. Jaya, jaya. Bhagavan. So Krishna was with his subjects who had a relationship of reverence. What a sweet love. But he could not let his guard down. Position covers personality. So when God is the supreme personality of Godhead, he doesn't have a position. That's why the first time that we see Krishna introduced in our two main books, the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, he's in the same position. He is the driver. He's the driver. He's the servant. He's in the lower position. He takes away the reverence and the awe, and he can manifest himself fully. And that's called Vaidurya. So, Krishna is Prema Madhurya because when he doesn't have that position, he can be a friend. I tell this story often, but this is kind of a new crowd. My father, he was very respectable. He was a little formal with me, which is good. I appreciate it. I really respected my father. So I would come downstairs, we had kind of a split level, and he'd be sitting in his chair, as fathers do. They have their separate chair in America. I would say to him, his name was Walter, I would say, "How you doing, Wally?" He would look at me and say, "I am not your friend. I'm your father." And I would say, "Okay, Wally." Okay. Relation. But Krishna is just a cowherd boy, and therefore he can be the supreme personality of Godhead. He can have superiors, his parents, who worship him in the mood, the bhava. "I am your maintainer." That's motherly love. Think of your mothers. It's anugraha, mercy. Motherly love is mercy. Therefore, the mother always sees the child as an object of mercy. They never let the child grow up. They never see the child's grown up, because it ruins the love. Just like when Mother Yasoda looked in Krishna's mouth because he was eating dirt. She looked in his mouth and she saw the universal form. She saw the whole universe, including herself and her son.
And she didn't like it because she couldn't give God mercy. God is not an object of mercy. Therefore, someone in parental love, it's so powerful, they will never see God. They'll never see Krishna as God because there's no bhava. The nature of Krishna is so sweet that in response to the love of his devotees, he develops needs so that they can serve him. In deity worship, it's mentioned in Bhakti Sandarbha that don't put the deity in the winter in water, in cold water. Why? Because the deity will catch cold. The deity actually needs you. You don't feed Krishna, Krishna will starve. He's actually hungry for love. So when God comes as just a beautiful cowherd, Bahar be dumb. Peacock feather. Natavara Vapu, the most excellent dancer. Karnio Karni Karyam. Yellow tulips. In one ear or the other, it's not the left or the right. Whichever ear he wants, he just uses, he puts two. One. One is a little bit more. Yellowed, Bibrad Vishad, Kanika Kapisa, Kanika Kapisa, yellow golden dhoti, Vaijayanti Chamala, and a forest garland to his knees of five different kinds of different types of forest flowers. So he has all these wonderful relationships with friends, with Rama, Chandra. You can only have 3.5 relationships. You can appreciate him, Shantaras. Shantaras means you're a fan of God. You don't do service, you just cheer. Yay. Jai. Yay. Shantaras is a fan of God. Then there's Dasirat, servant. He only has 2.5 relationships. Because friendship. But it's not pure friendship. Because friendship means Saman Bhagavatam. You're equal to God. That friendship is the mood of equality. And how do they say? Because sometimes Ram runs with his friends and they have a race. And they're running with him. But they never defeat him. They always let him win. Because he's the king. 2.5 relationships. So with Krishna, there is all relationships. You can be the lover of Krishna. You can be the parent of Krishna. You can be the friend of Krishna. You can be the servant of Krishna. Spontaneous relationships with Krishna. Then there's Lila Madhurya. Because there's these intimate relationships, there's so many activities. When Krishna is God, when he comes and he takes the full position, basically all you can do is pray. Actually, in Shantaras, you can't even serve. Because God is so imminent, he's so powerful, he's so all-pervading, that you can't even serve. There's no need. What kind of service? In Shantaras, there's no service. And who worships in Shantaras? The jnanis and the tapasvis. They just meditate. how great, how powerful God is. So with Krishna, there's all varieties of loving service. So it's Lila Madhurya. Now here's the question. Why the flute? Venu Madhurya. Why the flute? Why this flute? In the fifth note. But you know what's sweeter than the flute? In the rasa dance, Krishna plays his flute. And it goes to this very, very high note. Yeah, that'll be odd. Like it's a wonderful flute, so high. And all the gopis are. But then Radha goes. Highest note. And then they go. Why the flute? Why the flute? Well, these are the things that we have to try to figure out. Otherwise, we can't eat and we commit suicide. I'm not that advanced, but there's great acharyas where they find mistakes in the shastra and they know the shastra has to be right. They contemplate, they give up eating. All night, why the flute? Why the flute? As one of the four, why the flute? This is my understanding. What is the flute? The flute is a jazz instrument. And when you play those instruments, you take everything in your heart and you show the world. Right? Everything in your heart and you just show the world. Now, that's not appropriate for a dignified high person who's sitting higher than everyone else. They don't do jazz with the public, except for Bill Clinton when he went to Harlem. That's what everybody liked him. He went to Harlem and he played it, you know? He didn't do it in the White House. He went to Harlem. Krishna didn't play the flute in Kurukshetra. He went to Vrindavan. He played the flute. Play the flute. It's expressing his heart. It's a very intimate thing. And Krishna's flute is very, very special because it can amplify not only the love in his heart for the devotees, but it can amplify the particular love in his heart for a particular devotee. He calls his devotees and he calls his cows sometimes with the flute. But all of these indicate the full Swayam Bhagavan, the full manifestation of God is what? When he lets everything about him be expressed fully. And that's the original personality of Godhead. That's the uncovered. That's the full manifestation of Godhead. And today is his birthday. Now, I'm trying to meditate now on that birth pastime without having prepared it, but I did teach it once in Vrindavan during this time. And I gave a lecture for 30 days on Krishna's birth. And really we got into all the details, and I had a friend there who is very, very learned in Shastra. And before my class, I would run to him and try to catch him, and he would just say a few things on the verse I was speaking. Amazing. What do I remember now? Well, I do remember one thing that was interesting. Kamsa was driving the chariot, and his sister was Devaki, and driving the chariot to take the sister to live in the husband's house, which was the Indian system of marriage. At that time, the dowry system, which has since been perverted, was just because that was the system that the daughter would move to the husband's house. At that time, the father would give her the dowry, would give her the inheritance. So, if the father had two sons and one daughter, at the time of marriage, one third of his wealth would go with the daughter to the husband's house for the daughter. So, he was driving, and then there was an Akash Vani, a voice from the sky that said, Kamsa, you're such a fool because you're carrying within your womb your death. What a fool. Now, imagine that Kamsa was a skinhead. So Kamsa, you're such a fool. You know, it's kind of like that. I'm trying to give a frame of reference here. It's just imagine Kamsa is a demon. What does a demon mean? It means he's put himself, the ego, I am the greatest. I am, what is that in the Bhagavad Gita? Prasanath, you know.
Ishwaroham bhogi siddhoham balavan sukhi.
Say that louder.
Ishwaroham bhogi siddhoham balavan sukhi.
Can you translate that?
I'm the Lord of everything that I surrender. Ishwaroham. I'm the enjoyer.
I'm the Lord. I'm the enjoyer.
I have achieved siddhoham.
I've achieved perfection.
And balavan sukhi. I'm the strongest.
I'm the strongest. That's how he thought. And someone says, Kamsa, you're such a fool. You're holding within your womb. You're such a fool. You're holding within the womb. So Kamsa, and then he, because somehow in that culture, even though they're demons, they have a lot of faith and mysticism. You're such a fool, the voice. So he grabs with his left hand, he grabs the hair of his sister, and he takes up his sword, and he's ready to kill her. And he's kind of like fighting between, he's fighting with his desire, his fear. I'm the great, and this is a threat to me. My sister's a threat. And then some little inch of conscience that's left. And then Krishna's father, Devaki's husband, Vasudeva, he was the supremely intelligent person. And that's shown in that past, but he was a supremely intelligent person. Therefore, what's another name for Vasudeva? Anybody know?
Yeah.
Who?
Vasudeva.
No, what's another name for Vasudeva?
Agrasena. His
father
is
Agrasena. His father is Agrasena. Another name for Vasudeva is Anukadundavi. Why is he named Anukadundavi? Anuka is what? Is it the drums?
No.
And Dundavi is the horn. He's known as drums and horns. And horn. Why is he known that? Because at his birth, they knew that he would have the quality of Asha Bandha. And what does Asha Bandha mean? What? Literally, what does it mean? It means hope against hope. It means your asha, your hope, cannot be bound. A powerful or great person, their hope cannot be restrained. And in the humble way, for the devotee, the hope cannot be restrained, because even though something may be unattainable, they believe Krishna is merciful, so they always have hope. So their hope cannot be bound. But this is why Kamsa was named Anukadundavi, because when Kamsa was to kill him, then Vasudeva began to try to stop him. And he tried to stop him by he was a great diplomat, by the different diplomatic skills. So the first diplomatic skill is there's Sama. You kind of praise the person. Then there's Beta. You create fear in them. Then there's Dana. You give a bribe. And then there's Danda. You beat the person. He couldn't do Dana and Danda. But he tried to create fear. And he had so many good arguments. And he gave him, I'll translate this into my local vernacular, one of the greatest rank outs of all time. He looked at him and he said, Kamsa, how can you kill a woman who is your sister on the day of her marriage? You can't get lower than that. I mean, that's as low as you can get. So he was like, you know, it was a battle, and Kamsa was like ready to do it. Then he'd give these arguments, and Kamsa was going, and he was like struggling, and the arguments were coming back, and there was this big, and then finally he saw, he gave every single argument he could, fighting off. When I think of Vasudeva, I think of Tamal Krishna Maharaj. You know, he would have every argument, you know, in every single way, from every direction. So expert. But he couldn't resist. Is it time for another article? Okay. Do I have some more time?
You know, keep going, Mark.
What?
You have time.
So what happened was, is he saw that there's nothing he can do, that Kamsa was just too powerful, he was too demoniac, and then he thought a second for himself, should I just give up? There's nothing I can do. And then he thought of a religious principle. And the religious principle is, you should try to save life to the extent that you can. Right? Not like you see someone drowning and say, oh, you're not the body anyway. You try to help to whatever extent you can try to help. So he said, I have to go the full thing. And then he thought, and he looked at Kamsa and he said, it is not my wife that will kill you, but it's the eighth child of my wife that will kill you. And therefore, I will give you all the children. I will bring them to you. And then Kamsa thought, yeah, this is a little bit auspicious, and bring me the children anyway. Which is an amazing thing, because the samskaras for truth were so embedded in cultured people in India that they rather die than lie. They were so strong. You look at the Mahabharata, it's all about instilling honesty in people. I lived in India 30, 40 years ago. 36, 37 years ago, I met people. When they gave their word, I met one man, somehow or other his son left home. And then his wife died out of separation. There was a family quarrel. And he vowed, until my son comes home, I will never again eat anything sweet. I will never take any grains again. I will never take any oils again. I will never take any nuts again. When I met him, 50, 60 years, and I will never go home again. For 50, 60 years, he was just eating yogurt and fruit and milk and boiled vegetables. Oh, so they knew. And then in the purport, Prabhupada says something so brilliant. He said that there's nothing too difficult for a man of character in the discharge of their duty. So Kamsa brought the children. When he brought the first one, then somehow it melted Kamsa's heart. And Kamsa said, well, it's not the child that's going to kill me. It's the eighth child. But there was a problem with Kamsa. A bad association. So his influence. No, kill the child. You never can tell who's born, where they're born, what they'll do. Don't take any chances. And Kamsa killed the child. And the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one. He killed six children. And then Balaram appeared, was transferred to the womb of Rohini. And then Krishna appeared from the mind of Vasudeva to the heart of Devaki. And this is described that who these six children were. They were actually the sons of Kamsa in his previous incarnation, called the Garbhasuras. And they were actually the manifestations of the six material whips. Ganesha.
Pride.
Greed.
Envy.
Illusion.
And
madness. Anyway, there's
anger.
Illusion, madness.
Lust, anger.
What?
Lust, anger, greed.
So they were these manifestations. This is very interesting. These are the manifestations, and they're killed by Kamsa. So the commentators say that the womb of Devaki represents bhakti. Because it's within bhakti that Krishna will be born. But when the bhakti is mixed with these things, lust, anger, greed, etc., Krishna can't take birth. So then Kamsa kills them. What does Kamsa represent? Kamsa represents material fear. When you legitimately fear what my lust will do when it's unrestricted, what my greed will do, and how do we get fear of that? Well, just follow your lust and you'll see the trouble you'll get in. Follow your greed, see the trouble. Follow your anger, see the trouble you'll get in. So they're killed by the material existence. They're beaten down by the material existence. I've tried the path of unrestricted lust. I've tried the path of unrestricted greed. I've tried the path of anger. And then what happens is, then you become frustrated materially and you start to seek shelter. Then Balaram appears. Balaram is Guru Tattva. Then you're willing to take shelter of Krishna's instructions, Krishna's potency to attract you back to God in the terms of his instructions and his teachings. And then Krishna appears. And that's Krishna's birth. Okay. Lakshmi, what's the program here?
Next, we're going to have Jula as soon as we finish.
Okay. Is it time now?
Yes.
What's that?
Yes.
Okay. To the Prabhupada.
Jai. Jai.